You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
William Gargan stars as Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
One sure way to reduce the body beautiful and eliminate excess fat is horizontal living. Lie prone and don't blow your lid. Your coffin lid, that is.
The National Broadcasting Company presents William Gargan in another transcribed drama of mystery and adventure with America's number one detective, Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
Barry Craig speaking. A smart confidential cop keeps a straitjacket handy as standard office equipment. The time has to come when you want to rush a prospective client to Bellevue for observation. What else can you do when a guy pops in, tells you his name is Julius Caesar, and then without any further explanation starts bawling like a baby? Julius Caesar, right out of Runyon. Pants under his hip line like a burlicue comic. A checkered vest with egg stains. And a face that could only advertise a meat grinder. Here, my handkerchief. Dry your eyes. I only said to dry your eyes. You through blubbering?
Yeah.
What are you crying over?
Cleo.
Your dog?
My wife.
She ran off with a piano mover?
Would I be wearing this armband?
Oh, black armband. I'm sorry. You're a widower.
No.
You said she was your wife.
Is my wife.
She died and came back?
Cleo never died.
Then why the mourning band?
Cleo is gonna die, for sure.
Some incurable disease?
You and me put together, Cleo is healthier.
Now I'm in utter confusion.
I was to a tea room.
No, I didn't know they had pool tables and tea rooms.
Look, I'm in there getting my fortune told. I'm gonna lose Cleo, it says in the tea leaves. Cleo has got to go.
What's going to kill her?
Not what. Who? That is what I want to know.
You, maybe?
Chop off my arm. I wouldn't hurt Cleo. I love this doll.
That's the whole basis of your fears? Cleo didn't make out in the tea leaves?
Let alone that. Someone has tried to get to her already.
Clear up get to her for me.
Rub her out. Depart Cleo from my midst.
Somebody tried to murder Cleo?
What was I saying?
Don't you know?
Okay, murder.
Describe the attempt, Julius.
Cleo has got a medicine for pep. A hangover had her down. So she took a swallow of this stuff.
What was she drinking instead?
Poison. Somebody had switched the bottles on Cleo.
That's the attempt?
No, I got a few more. This one, for instance. Coming down the stairs. Soap. Now her spine is out of whack. Cleo leans a little.
To the right or left?
Left. No, right. No. Oh, I give up.
Who's behind all the mayhem?
I wouldn't be here if I knew. Here. 3 C's on account. I took a mortgage on a shop.
Shop?
Flowers. I run a flower shop over at Prince and Fort. For free, any time, I'll make you up a wreath.
Oh, no thanks. Save it for Cleo.
The biggest in town when Cleo goes. It'll need a Mack truck to haul it. Here, I'll show you a picture of Cleo in a bathing suit.
Hmm. Where's the bathing suit?
Bikini. That's a type suit. In the picture there, Cleo's in the contest.
Contest?
Yeah, Mrs. Apple Pie, 1952. This is a contest for married queens who can bake. A gent who manufactures the stuff, the pies, that is, Mr. Willoughby, he's sponsoring the contest. $20,000.
$20,000?
That's the first prize.
How are Cleo's chances?
You've seen her picture.
Hmm. But I haven't tasted a pie.
Smooth. It slides into your stomach. You don't even need no teeth. Cleo can't miss. Only, you see, that's what's going to get her knocked off.
The envious competition.
Yeah, them. Cleo's got to be stopped, somebody figures. Oh, please, don't leave me lose her.
Well, I'll do my best. Where is Cleo now?
Calamity House. That's a hotel the sponsor Willoughby rented out in Sheepshead Bay. The whole joint. Every contestant has got to stay there and take a turn in the kitchen.
Baking pies.
All week long. They judge them on the pies, and then they judge them on their looks.
Calamity House. Okay, Julius, you've whet my appetite. I'll go have myself a pie. As it so happened, I ran into Cleo before I got to Calamity House in Apple Pie Heaven on the highway, going up an incline where a sign warned Horseshoe Curve. Coincidence or destiny? I made a note to look up a mystic and ask him sometime. Anyhow, I hadn't made the top of the hill when a car flung around the upper level curve coming down toward me. A car out of control, it looked like. I braked to a dead stop. A runaway car whizzed past me. I got a photo look of a lady driver, and then came the crash. A car crash creates employment. Specialists pile in like grips at a sideshow. When the emergency squads got finished, I huddled with Lieutenant Trav Rogers. Trav had jumped at the chance to head out to Sheepshead Bay at the first radio flash. Trav liked the sea air.
Cleo Odell was her name.
Cleo Odell Caesar.
Caesar?
She was married to Julius Caesar.
Her age didn't show.
I'm not joking.
No, you're not? All right, instruct me.
Later. Meanwhile, let's get down to the whys and wherefores of the accident.
Negligent driving or inexperience coming down inclines or her brakes wouldn't work. Au revoir, Cleo Odell.
No good, Trav.
What's wrong with my reconstruction?
The cuts and gashes on the victim's face and neck.
You get badly marked up and cut racing downhill into a crash?
I examined the car.
So did I.
The safety glass cracked, but it didn't shred or splinter.
Yes, that's so. I made a note of that, even wondered a bit.
With no chips of glass flying about, how could she get cut up as she was? Another thing.
Yes, Craig?
If you checked over the corpse.
I left that to Dr. Conway.
I didn't. I satisfied myself. The bleeding from those cuts on her face and neck, they'd begun to dry.
You're certain of that?
I'm positive they couldn't be fresh wounds sustained from the crash itself. Those cuts and gashes came earlier, before the bottom of the hill.
You've mustered a pretty convincing story.
I've got a clincher. Come over to the wreck. Take a look at the gas accelerator.
All right. So?
Feel around it.
It's wedged to the floorboard.
What's wedging it?
What? Oh, wait. A pebble. This pebble was wedging the gas accelerator.
I discovered that 20 minutes ago.
But I had two men, Muller and Wilson.
They missed the pebble. They weren't looking for evidence of foul play.
No. Looked for all the world like a cut-and-dried vehicular accident. A car out of control, an unfortunate fatality.
It was murder. Cleo Odell was beaten to death, beaten around the head and neck by a blunt instrument. That's where she got those cuts and gashes.
The killer then sat her in the car, rigged the gas accelerator by wedging it with this pebble, switched on the ignition, sent the car down the incline.
Trying for the perfect murder. In Calamity House, pattering about the main suite like a Maharaja, I found the contest sponsor and pie manufacturer, Mr. Willoughby. His Highness was wearing a scarlet lounging robe with a golden dragon growling across it.
This tragedy, Mr. Craig, it casts a damper.
Murder does that, Willoughby.
Murder? But I thought...
The first police flash was a mistake. Leah was beaten to death before she went joyriding down an incline.
I'm bewildered. I cannot grasp...
Let's stray from the corpse until your blood pressure can take it better. Answer me this. What were Cleo Odell's chances of pocketing your $20,000?
Why, most excellent indeed.
Her pies hit the spot?
They were outstanding. In the first four contest days, Cleo Odell had won 456 points. We have a point scoring system.
Skip the intricacies. Who was the runner-up? The missus closest to Cleo's 456. The contestant most likely to win, if not for Cleo.
Why, Lois LaRue. Her point score so far, I believe, is 372. Yes, 372.
And the rest of the field?
Oh, below 200. Their chances of forging ahead to victory are quite doubtful.
Okay, then. Lois LaRue. Cleo alive could cost Lois $20,000.
Well, surely you don't think...
I'm only asking. Now, about looks, shapes, how much rides with that?
Physical beauty determines the winner only in the event that there is a close race between two or three contestants. If the spread in points between contestant one and two, or one and two and three, is less than 50...
Less than 50? Well, that ends that. Cleo is a mile ahead of everybody. Her runner-up and survivor, this Lois LaRue, is also miles ahead of the field.
Yes. After Cleo Odell, it appears the award must go to Lois LaRue.
Who awards points? Or maybe let me say it this way. Who judges the quality of the pies and hands out the points?
Our judge, Mr. Cornell, Vincent Cornell. Mr. Cornell is a well-known illustrator.
Who appointed him judge?
I did. If you're minded to impugn...
Simmer down, Your Highness. I'm just acquainting myself with background. All right for me to go have myself a pie?
Why, of course. Any number of them. The kitchen is on the basement level. Every pie is enriched with exclusive Willoughby ingredients. A secret miracle chemical, exclusive with Willoughby.
Cut, you've got your plug in. You're keeping me from the pies. I loaded up on pies, and then I let Lois LaRue feed me vital statistics about herself. A brunette with hair of midnight black, an acute nose that tilted at the tip like a ski jump. Her bathing suit made me feel overdressed. Lois looked like she'd been tipped off to my coming. She had soft lights and softer music going.
A drink, Mr. Craig?
No, thanks. And let's switch off the music, huh? Romance and murder mix badly.
Oh, it was a terrible thing. Cleo had so much to live for.
There was a neat $20,000 in her future.
But you can't say that with certainty. The contest hasn't finished.
It was in the bag for Cleo. She was a mile ahead on points, ahead of you.
There are 9 contestants here in Calamity House.
The other 7 are hanging on for the exercise.
All right, I won't argue it. Except to say that I felt... Well, I felt I could win somehow.
And somehow you're going to, that's for sure.
I don't know how to take that.
Resent it if you can muster outraged innocence.
If I can... Why, of all the gall...
No throwing things. And don't throw music and curves at me, beautiful. I look at that utterly utter torso of yours, and all I can see is a corpse. The corpse of Cleo Odell. Now, let's get businesslike.
Well, what do you expect of me?
Some insight into you. You're right up front in my gallery of suspects.
Merely because I was closest to winning after Cleo?
Because 20 grand is bait, and you look to me like hunger. Like you'd die if you lost the contest.
All right. I admit it. I am intense about winning. I don't dare lose. This contest isn't my gamble alone. They're investors. It's their gamble, too.
Investors meaning?
Backers. My family and friends. They've shelled out every penny they could raise to dress me, pay for my photographs, publicity, miscellaneous expenses. I'm a corporate body. I've been cut into percentages, into pieces.
Familiar stuff, speaking of contests. How does your husband fit into the situation?
My husband?
This is a contest for married women only.
Oh, yes, my husband, Zach.
Zach?
Zach Foster. He manages me, too, represents me.
Where is he?
Why, around. Zach floats around.
What is he, a balloon?
Oh, well, I mean, Zach can't be pinned down to a place, so to speak. He's on the move, making arrangements, contacts. Sometimes he's here at the hotel, other times somewhere else.
I see. Next time you see Zach, tell him to stay put long enough to exchange introductions with me. Tell him Barry Craig wants to talk to him. The absent husband, Zach, presented himself a little unexpectedly. I was down in the kitchen again, sinking my overjoyed molars into more pies.
You Barry Craig?
Wait till I check my driver's license.
Put your hands up.
Must I?
Then don't put your hands up. See if I care. What's your teacher?
Oh, my jaw. Teach me what?
To terrorize my wife.
I talk better standing. I terrorized your wife, you say?
That was LaRue. I found her in hysterics, a poor kid. Crying her eyes out. You just left, she said.
I talked to her, sure.
You worked over her, like she was on trial.
She must feel awfully guilty to have reacted like that.
Watch that tongue, Craig. You can't throw murder accusations around and get away with it.
Not with Zach Foster around, huh?
Lois is sensitive.
Like a cigar store Indian.
She goes off her feet. She can't bake. She thins down because she can't eat or sleep. She loses her figure.
She consequently loses the contest.
Yeah. Is that your game? To take the steam out of Lois? You working on the slide for some other contestant?
Uh-huh.
You admit it.
I'm working in the open for some other contestant. For Cleo O'Dell.
Wise guy.
Cleo O'Dell. Want to confess to murdering her, maybe?
Craig, I'm going to declare total war.
You already declared it, chum. You fired the first shot. It's my turn now for a counteroffensive. I was up before the count of 10, chum. Let's see if you beat my time. One thing about a contest judge, he doesn't ever look the part. He looks nervous, like he's only doing the job because somebody's got a gun at his head. The illustrator, Vincent Cornell, gave the standard impression.
Oh, how I ever got into this thing.
How did you?
Mr. Willoughby requested me to judge the contest as a personal favor to him.
Why should that move you?
Well, Mr. Willoughby is an important advertiser in magazines I do illustrating for. It was necessary goodwill that I...
And you did. Hmm. Now to the contest. Question. Has there been any undue pressure on you?
Undue pressure?
To influence you. Get you to vote points. Favor some one contestant.
What makes you think to ask that?
Since I don't see you blow an immediate fuse, it looks like my question is very much in order.
I have no answer for you.
Don't make me coax too hard. We're not just passing the time, Cornell.
Yes, I know the seriousness, the enormity, Miss O'Dell.
The recent Miss O'Dell.
I can't afford to get involved and get mixed up. A scandal could be troublesome to me professionally. Pursue your investigation in some other manner. Interrogate the others, and good luck to you. I simply will not be involved, and I'll say nothing. In fact, I'm resigning as judge at once.
Come off it, Cornell. You can resign all over the lot, but you're still going to find things troublesome.
What do you mean?
Late hours in a certain room in police headquarters. There'll be 20 guys packed around, with you the center of attraction. How do you sleep, sitting up in a straight chair?
Mr. Craig, I'm confused.
Tell what you know and watch the confusion evaporate. Undue influence. What about it?
Well, I found myself pressed to favor Cleo O'Dell.
Cleo O'Dell?
You seem surprised.
Yeah, I thought any pressure on you would be on behalf of the runner-up, Lois LaRue. That nice husband of hers, so-called Zach Foster.
No, there were no overtures made to me, no pressure or prompting for Lois LaRue, only for the late Cleo O'Dell. I questioned some 200 points I awarded her. In thinking it over later, I felt I was, influenced.
Who pressured you?
Mind you, it wasn't overt. It was something subtle, more insidious. Say, a notion cleverly planted in my thinking, a bias.
Never mind how it was done. Who pressured you? Cornell!
I've been shot.
Yeah. Someone outside your window aiming a rifle. How bad is it?
It hurts. Go seize...
Can't. I've got to lie here, flat beside you, and keep my fingers crossed. There's a second shot coming. That was for me. Insurance, in case I'd gotten the whole story out of you. Name who pressured you for Cleo. Cornell. Cornell. Not much point questioning a corpse. Murder to shut Cornell up. A rifleman with a nice sense of timing. The search outside the window turned up nothing, except an overturned flower pot. No footprints, You don't find any on Flagstone. The search of the grounds reintroduced me to my client, Julius. Julius was sitting on the edge of a goldfish pond, crying into it. I loaned you my one good handkerchief this morning.
I got it here in my pocket.
Be my guest. Blow your nose. You really got something to blubber about now. No kidding this time.
I won't never stop crying.
Do it someplace else. You've got the fish pond overflowing.
I lost Cleo.
Cleo lost more. What brings you here to Calamity House?
To see you. I got things to talk over.
Where did you park your BB gun?
I don't get you.
How long have you been squatting down here?
10 minutes.
Then you heard two rifle shots?
No.
Like peals of thunder and with breaking glass. What are you, stone deaf?
No.
No what?
Not stone deaf, but I don't hear good. I once got a drafty from it because I don't hear good.
Oh, Julius, you kill me.
Wouldn't I like to?
Repeat that, please.
For losing me, Cleo. Craig, they're going to pin it on me. Lay Cleo's mitre to me.
On what ground?
$15,000. Double indemnity. That makes 30.
$30,000? You carried insurance on Cleo?
Yeah. Double if Cleo went in an accident, like a train or a car.
A policy that size is suspicious. All of a sudden, I even suspect you myself, Julius.
Oh, don't say that.
Are there any other suspicious circumstances wrapped around that policy?
Yeah, there are. You see, I got the policy only 2 weeks before...
2 weeks before Cleo went down the incline?
Yeah.
2 weeks before this afternoon?
Yeah, that's what.
Cleo was murdered and the killer tried awfully hard to make it look like an accident. A vehicular accident.
Looks bad for me, huh?
I can practically see you in the electric chair.
Oh, Craig, don't say that.
Get him like Julius and get your funny bone tickled. While a client maybe fits you for a pair of horns, a comic character, friend Julius, weak in the head. But what was so dumb about $15,000? Double indemnity equals 30. To me, it qualified Julius as a genius and maybe even a murderer. When a confidential cop stuck for an answer, he reaches into his bag for a trick, like I did. My trick was to conceal evidence of murder. The illustrator and recent contest judge, Cornell. I decided to let him spend the first hour or so of the hereafter in a clothes closet. A corpse in a closet and a locked room. In case people wanted about a little too freely in Calamity House. I made myself conspicuously available in Calamity House, the main lobby. I couldn't be missed by anybody. Even a blind man could reach me by the odor of my cigar. The first gent to buttonhole me was Zach Foster, looking as if it was quite an effort to come up and talk to me.
Craig?
Zach?
Okay to talk to you?
Is it round two?
No. War's over as far as I'm concerned. Anyhow, I...
Peace. It's wonderful.
Frankly, I'm frightened stiff.
Of what?
Well, you mainly. The way you go about things. And the slant you're working on. How Cleo O'Dell died. Who killed her and why.
Did you?
No. But it might fit. You might make it fit. That's why I'm scared. For me and a kid.
Who's the kid?
Lois. You see...
You're about to make a confession.
Yeah. A confession of something I think you've already guessed.
That you're not married to Lois.
And you did guess. No. We're in a contest on false pretenses. We don't qualify. Lois is single. I promoted her into the lie. I got her to go along with the swindle. Make out she was a Mrs. Zach Foster.
You've just talked yourself out of $20,000.
Yeah, I know. I'm scared off. I don't want a rap we don't rate. The murder of Cleo O'Dell can't be laid to us.
Now what, Zach?
I'm going to locate the contest judge, Cornell, and make a clean breast. Tell him what I just told you. Why Lois LaRue should be disqualified. Then I'm going to clear out. I mean, if it's okay with you.
It's okay with me. You've just cleared yourself, all right, in a bigger way than you suspect. But stick around a while, anyhow. I stuck it out in the main lobby of Calamity House, behind a cigar, conspicuously available to all comers. The next arrival to claim my ear was the Maharaja himself, the contest sponsor, Willoughby. No purple dressing gown this time. The only thing purple on him was his face.
Craig.
Your Highness.
I've been embarrassed and distressed. The Willoughby name has become infamous. The contest has been scandalized. I've become notorious.
Relax, Willoughby.
Relax, you say? With this succession of outrages? I disavow the contest. I'll scuttle it.
Simmer down. You're raising your blood pressure.
This apathy in you, this idiotic calm, with two murders crying out for justice. Mr. Craig, I find you offensive.
And I find you guilty.
What's that?
Guilty.
What nonsense is this?
You just convicted yourself. Two murders, you said. Cleo O'Dell is one. Who's number two?
Why, Vincent Cornell.
Correct. But only the murderer could know that.
Only the murderer?
There's been no advertising of Cornell's fate. I've got him in a clothes closet. His death is a secret two people share, me and the killer. That's you. You can clam up or you can talk. Whatever your motive was, it can wait. I can wait. But you're licked. Two murders. You did them both.
Yes. I did them both. Cleo O'Dell, because she knew me when we met, she recognized me. An ugly and untalented person. I was forced to see that she won our contest. And after victory, I knew there'd be other blackmail, other tribute to pay. I didn't dispose of her first.
What did Cleo have on you?
An unsolved murder. In the long ago past, 17 years ago, my wife, I'd struck her fatally in the heat of a quarrel. I'd fled, left town, and later resumed my life elsewhere. Here in New York with a new name. Cleo O'Dell was a Janet Tyler in her teens then. The daughter of an ex-store neighbor in our town.
Ironic twist. Cleo showing up in your contest 17 years later. You're escaping the police in all that time, but running afoul of Cleo.
My retribution. I'd have to pay for my crime sometime, I knew. I always knew.
Cornell. Why did he have to die?
Cornell could tell you that I had influenced him to favor Cleo. You see, I'd agreed to blackmail before.
Before you decided that the only good blackmailer was a dead blackmailer.
Yes. I wasn't at first aware of the lady's avarice. But I would be a captive forever.
Case solved. You're under arrest for murder. Murder new and old. Now, who was it who said, your sins will find you out?
You've been listening to William Gargan in another exciting transcribed mystery drama from the adventures of Barry Craig, confidential investigator. Tonight's story, Murder by Threes, was written by John Robert. Next week, it's the strange story titled Dead Loss, about which Barry Craig has this to say.
Next week, a man comes to visit me 6 months after he's buried. A lady dies long after she's dead. And a beautiful young girl does what? Good night, folks. See you next week.
Featured in the role of Lois was Barbara Weeks. Barry Craig, starring William Gargan, was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is Don Pardo speaking.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
William Gargan stars as Barry Craig. Confidential Investigator.
I wonder if murderers, like other people, worry about their income taxes. When they make a killing, for example, do they always report it, or do they just list their victims under buried assets?
The National Broadcasting Company presents William Gargan in another transcribed drama of mystery and adventure with America's number one detective, Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
Barry Craig speaking. I'd been to a movie. It was about a private eye who pinned a wreath on a murderer after an hour and a half of swallowing dry martinis, wrestling amorously with youthful blondes, and wearing a succession of the best press suits ever seen off a tailor's dummy. I decided to walk home. I wondered if there was a special license that a plain investigator like me could get that would make me like martinis and make blondes like me. It was close to 1 a.m. The air was raw and cold with the tang of metal in it you get in New York. The afternoon slush had hardened to ice underneath your feet, and I decided you'd probably need more than a license when I saw her. Halfway up the block, an apartment house lobby spilled some light out into the street. Enough light so I could see that she was young, redheaded, with that pale, almost transparent skin redheads sometimes have. The guy with her had his back to me. It was an old scene. He was probably making a play for a nightcap up in her apartment. She shook her head and moved into the doorway. He moved after her, maybe for a goodnight kiss. It was none of my business. I started walking. He must have tried for more than a kiss and wound up with a slap in the face. He came stumbling backwards out of the doorway, hit the ice on the pavement, and went down. I heard the door slam behind her. Either she hadn't noticed him fall or she didn't care. He wasn't moving when I got to him. A pavement can be pretty hard when you slap it with the back of your head. I tried shaking him, but he wasn't playing. I lifted his head, thinking maybe that might help bring him to, and then I eased it back onto the pavement. I couldn't be sure if the skull was broken, but by that time I was sure of something else. He'd quit breathing. Not a nice way to wind up a date with a pretty redhead. I thought she might want to know about it. There were a dozen names on the bellboard in the small lobby. Any one of them could have belonged to the redhead. I pushed the super's button. I tried the inside door. It was locked. A well-run apartment house. Supers probably need their sleep as much as anybody, but they frequently don't get it.
What do you want?
I'm sorry I had to wake you. There's been a small accident.
Yeah, what kind of an accident?
Somebody slipped on the ice in front of the building.
What are you, a lawyer?
No.
Nobody could have slipped in front of the building. I put plenty of ashes on the ice. It ain't slippery.
Well, come on and look for yourself.
Okay, but if you think you got a case...
I don't know the man. It's none of my business.
Well, if he thinks he's
Come on. And he's not thinking of suing anybody.
Maybe he ain't, but if you've been a super as long as I have, you know they're always looking for a chance to stick an insurance company.
You still think he's looking for anything?
Well, the guy's dead, ain't he?
Yeah.
Well, that's terrible.
Uh-huh. You better call the police. Tell them to send an ambulance down, too, on the chance we're not such good diagnosticians.
Okay, sure.
And while you're doing that, I might as well break the news to the redhead.
Huh?
He'd brought her home, said goodnight to her when it happened.
You mean some girl in this building?
Yeah. Maybe 20, pale skin, red hair, pretty. You couldn't mistake her.
Mister, maybe you couldn't, but there ain't no girl like that living in this building.
The skin on my back crawled a bit when he let me have it. Then I shrugged it off. Maybe she was staying with some people in the building. The super wouldn't have to know about that.
baby.
Yes, officer, he's laying out in front, just like he fell. Yeah, well, there's some guy here who's seen it. Name's Craig. Yeah, we ain't tried moving him. Okay, officer. Well, I'll be right over.
Good. About that redhead.
Look, I've been super here for 7 years. I know every family in this building. They all been here for years.
Well, she might be staying with one of them.
There was some burglaries in the neighborhood the last couple of weeks. I checked on all the door keys today. There was nobody staying with nobody.
Well, it might have been a sudden...
She wouldn't have had no key.
She didn't have to have one. She could have pushed a button and... No.
No, huh?
I was too close. If she'd had to wait for somebody to click the door catch down in the lobby, I'd have seen her.
Well, maybe she ducked out again.
Uh-uh.
So what does that mean?
I don't know what it means. Except maybe it's going to be quite a while before she finds out what happened to her date. It didn't take long for the police to arrive, or the ambulance. They move pretty fast. They always do. They've had experience. And on this trip, they also had Lieutenant Rogers of Homicide.
Barry?
Yeah, Lieutenant?
You're not curious enough.
The police doctor said the guy was dead, didn't he?
He's dead.
What should I be curious about?
About why I came down on an accident case.
I figured maybe it was on account of your college education.
What would that have to do with it?
I wouldn't know. I never went to college.
You're being a big help.
What do you want me to be helpful about?
I came down because when the report came in, your name was mentioned.
So you decided I was involved?
Aren't you?
No. You got my story.
Yeah, you just happened to be walking. You just happened to notice the redhead and the corpse and so on.
That's right.
It's hard to believe.
Why? Because I'm an investigator. I don't have a right to witness an accident.
Not an accident that happened to Walter Bawley.
Bawley? That's the corpse?
That's the corpse.
I've heard the name before.
Sure you have. Walter Bawley's a big man. Or was. In the Midwest.
In New York, he's just dead.
It could be a coincidence. He came here to collect a debt.
Owed by who?
He'd run a string of boogie joints here for years. He sold out maybe 6 months ago. Went to Detroit. But he had trouble getting paid. So he came back.
You never get paid now. Who'd he sell out to?
We've got a couple of guesses.
Any names attached?
Mark Wheeler, Joe Carson.
Neither of them are redheads.
No. Barry, the boys went through the building. No redheads on the premises.
It's a pity. I've got a thought, though.
Yes?
Let's take a walk through the building.
All right. Any particular direction?
Yeah, along the hallway here. Should lead to the back door.
Oh?
Which should be locked. Well, let's see. But isn't.
The super's going to have to do some explaining. There have been burglaries.
The super's okay. Take a look at the lock.
The lock? It's been forced.
Yeah.
That's happy news for a local locksmith, perhaps, but where does it fit in?
I don't know. Might tell us how the girl got out of the building.
But that's not the problem, is it? It's how she got in that bothers me.
How much does it bother you?
Not much, I guess. Because it still remains an accident, doesn't it?
Walter Bawley went to the morgue, Lieutenant Rogers went back to headquarters, and Barry Craig bought a drink.
Here's your poison, Craig.
Thanks. Say, Mac.
Yeah?
Suppose a man had an opinion about a horse. Where would he go to do something about it?
There's a cigar store on 3rd. The owner would be glad to listen to your opinions. Or the clerk over at the Armstrong Hotel.
No. That's for small opinions. I've got a king-size opinion.
Real big? Tell you, Craig, I wouldn't be surprised if you was to get a phone call first thing tomorrow.
Well, that'd be too late. I get nervous carrying big bills around. Who knows, I might lose them before morning.
Say, Craig, there's a new hot spot opened over on the west side.
Yeah?
Someplace in the 40s, I think. They call it the Three Aces. Got a wonderful floor show.
Three Aces. Carson would be one, Wheeler another. Who'd be the third?
If I've been to one doctor, I've been to a dozen. Never did me any good, though. Some days I can't hear a thing.
Okay, Mac. Doesn't matter much about that third ace anyway. He's been trumped. The Three Aces was over on the west side, someplace in the 40s. They weren't letting the night die without a struggle.
Everything is satisfactory, sir?
Sure, except for one thing. I'm lonely. I'd like to have a man-to-man conversation with someone. Someone named Joe Carson, say. Or maybe Mark Wheeler. I'd even talk to Walter Borley.
Very sorry, sir, but I've never heard of...
Ever seen one of these before?
Well...
Pretty shade of green, isn't it? Nice picture of Andrew Jackson on it. Go on. Have a good look.
Oh, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
I will see if one of the gentlemen you mentioned happens to be around.
You do that.
Yes, sir.
Mind if I sit down?
Nope.
How do you like the floor show?
Not bad. One of these nights I'll come back and look at the floor.
That's very funny.
So-so.
The waiter tells me you wanted words with my partner or me.
The waiter's right.
You wanted those words quite a few bucks worth.
I figured it was the only way I'd get them.
I don't like to see men throw money away. I'm Carson.
Fine. Speaking of floor shows, one of the regular girls is out tonight, isn't she?
Which one?
Well, we never got around to throwing names, but she describes easy. Around 20, red-headed, with a very white skin.
Yeah, now you mention it, she's not working the show tonight.
Too bad. I was looking forward to seeing her.
Well, that can be arranged.
Well, arrange it.
Okay. Only one thing.
Yeah?
She might not be in the right mood. See that door next to the bandstand?
Yeah, I see it.
If she's in the right mood, somebody will open it for you.
Thanks.
Don't mention it.
It took him maybe 5 minutes to find out if the girl was in the right mood, if that's what he was finding out. Either way, at the end of 5 minutes, the door next to the bandstand swung open. Somebody outside the door had done the swinging. I didn't have a chance to see who. I wasn't sure that I was playing it the right way, but I couldn't think of anything else. Nobody paid any attention to me. I crossed to the door and looked through it. The little I could see was a stretch of dirty hallway. But if you're a confidential investigator, you're not too fastidious. I walked through the doorway and shut the door behind me and turned, but not fast enough.
Back to Barry Craig in just a moment. And now, back to William Gargan, starring as Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
I didn't know how far I'd gone and how long I'd been away, but it took a while coming back. And even then, I didn't try opening my eyes or moving my head. I had a feeling it was going to hurt.
You had him sapped. Why?
Look, Wheeler, he came here asking for us. He fed me a phony routine about a redhead with white skin.
Nina.
Yeah, Nina, being part of the floor show.
I don't care.
You don't know all of it yet. I've been through his pockets. You know who he is?
Look, Carson.
A private eye named Craig. Now, what would you have wanted me to do? Invite him in to go over our books?
That might have been safer than what you did do.
Huh?
I just got a call from one of the newspaper boys down at headquarters. Borley was brought in a few minutes ago.
Borley at headquarters?
Wasn't his idea. The department they took him to was the morgue.
I don't believe it. You sure of this?
I'm sure of it.
Well, what's bad with that news?
It ain't no secret he'd come to town to collect. Off us. With him dead, who do you think the cops are going to be looking for?
Maybe I shouldn't have started nothing with this character here, but... Wait a minute. When did Borley get it?
Around one.
It's two now. If what you're handing me is true, the cops should have already been visiting.
According to what the press was told, Borley died in an accident.
So what are we worrying about?
The cops have handed out phony releases before.
I don't get it. Either you want to make trouble or you know better than the press. Where were you around 1 o'clock?
That's a funny question coming from you. What do you care?
Oh, forget it. Maybe I'm getting jumpy, but how does this guy fit in? And Nina?
Nina ain't been around the club all night, which means she don't fit in. Him? I don't know.
Maybe he heard about Bawley, too.
I've been thinking of that.
Maybe we don't take no chances on maybe.
He's out cold. Never know what... Okay, Carson. Get a couple of the boys in.
Now you're talking.
Sure I'm talking, but... I could be talking myself into the chair.
So far, I'd been doing fine with my eyes shut. But that wouldn't last much longer. Carson's boys would be glad to shut them again for me if I opened them at the wrong time. So I had to open them at the right time.
Keep an eye on Sonny Boy.
Yeah. Sonny Boy. Pretty soon, no Sonny Boy.
Wheeler was the nervous type, a floor pacer. 7 steps to the door, about turn, 7 steps to the desk, about turn, and the same routine repeated. The time he'd give me a quick look was when he passed me on the way to the door. On the 4th step, the 5th step would have to be my play. It would have to be fast and reasonably quiet. But how fast I could get off the floor, I didn't know. I'd find out. Step to the desk. Turn. Now back. The 5th step. Remember? 2, 3, 4, 5. That's my forearm, locked around your throat. Things you learn in the army. I increase the pressure an ounce, Wheeler, and that's all. Want a broken neck? That's nice. Now turn the gun around in your hand. Hold it by the barrel. Yeah. Poke it backwards toward me. That's the way. Thanks. Gun butts make a funny sound hitting a man's head. I didn't stop to laugh like mad. Carson and a couple of pals would be dropping in at any minute. There was a window behind the desk. I could have stopped to raise it, but I was in a hurry, and besides, I wasn't anxious to save a penny for the 3 aces, so I went through it fast and wasteful. The alley wasn't any cleaner than the hallway had been, but it was darker, and it didn't lead to a dead end. Well, Lieutenant Rogers.
What? Oh, hello, Barry.
I hope I'm not intruding.
That's a nice hope.
I need a little help in a lot of hurry.
Important?
I don't know. It could be.
Even a giraffe couldn't stick out as much neck for you as I do. All right, we're in a hurry with a police escort. To get where?
The 3 aces. One's been trumped, but the game's not over yet.
Got their instructions. Front and back of the club's covered. We go in?
If you don't mind.
I don't mind. The 3 aces.
Yeah.
Good evening, gent.
Yeah, I'm back again. I brought company with me, though. Lieutenant Rogers, homicide.
I...
Save it for your lawyer. Take us to the office.
I will ring.
No, no. We want a personal guide. That way we can be sure it'll be a surprise.
Move, huh?
Yes, sir.
That quiet authority always gets them.
The badge.
Don't be modest. A couple of square inches of tin isn't that impressive.
I don't know what Mr. Wheeler will...
Nobody passed the law. You have to know anything. Now knock. If a man answers, tell him you're checking the wine list or something.
Yes, sir.
Open the door.
No.
Yeah. I'll explain the reason why to you. If anybody inside has the idea trouble's coming and is preparing to blow down anyone in the doorway, you'll be the one.
I won't.
Sure you will.
All right. Mr. Wheeler.
Move over, Buster.
That's Wheeler?
Yeah. We met earlier. I had the pleasure of knocking him down with the butt of a gun.
He got up?
Yeah.
Sat down behind his desk and proceeded to blow his brains out.
Looks that way. But I'm stupid.
What do you mean?
I don't know why he killed himself.
You'd escaped. He knew you'd come to the police. He was throwing the bookie racket.
He still had a skin, his own. Boys like that are very fond of their skin.
It'll be a hard thing to prove anything. Looks like suicide.
Sure. Just like Borley's passing on looked like accident.
It was an accident.
No, Trev. Not an accident at all. The police guard around the club got us nothing but a handful of small crooks. Carson was conspicuously among those missing. We asked lots of people for his home address, and lots of people didn't know it.
We got the whole department on it, Barry. They'll turn him up.
Maybe, maybe not.
He couldn't have made it out of the city.
He didn't have to.
Meaning?
The setup back at the club goes for suicide. You'll never be able to prove otherwise. As for the accident...
That you call murder...
There's only one way you can tie him to it. The girl.
We did dig up a name for her. Nina West.
Pretty name. A pretty girl. And right now, very possibly a dead girl.
Oh, you can't be sure.
Put yourself in Carson's place. She's the one who can send him to the chair. With her dead, you've got nothing. Not even... And get this, Trav, not even a motive that would stand up in court for his killing her. I went out and took a look at what had happened to the night. The sky was getting lighter. The winter sun would be sneaking over the tops of the buildings in an hour or two. Not handing out much warmth, but a promise anyway. I started walking. I didn't try to think, because the only thoughts I had on tap weren't very pleasant. Nina West wasn't the kind of girl your mother hoped you'd marry, but she was young, pretty. I didn't think she'd known what was going to happen to her date. If she'd lived, maybe someday she'd have walked into my office in the old building on Madison Avenue and asked me to find a lost dog for her. And suddenly, walking wasn't fast enough for me. I needed a cab fast. I needed to go someplace fast. Only a hunch, but it was the one chance we had, the one chance Nina West had. If she'd gone where I had to get to within minutes, my office... Hang around. I might need you. I didn't bother with the elevator. I used the stairs. They're faster. It sounded good to me, the hunch. Say the girl hadn't known what Carson was letting her in for. She found out late. Borley already did. I slowed down, heading down the hallway to the office. It might be smarter not to announce an arrival. She'd have realized she was in trouble. Gone home? No. Carson knew where that was. But I'd barged into the club. Carson was busy with me. She might have heard him use my name. Maybe. Maybe she'd think of my office. Because a girl like that wouldn't go to the police. The lights were on in the office. I hadn't left them on. Someone was inside. Someone or a couple of someones. Had Carson tried her home, found her out, tried half a dozen other places she might have gone that he knew of, and then wound up with the same conclusion I had? There was no way to play it fancy, which was just as well. I'm not the fancy type. I hit the door hard and went to the floor. She screamed, but the shots drowned her out. I wound up against the desk, Carson to one side of me. The girl cut between us and got the bullet Carson had meant for me. He didn't have another try.
No, don't!
The gun.
I'll drop it, see?
Thanks. The rest is going to be for the fun of it. It didn't last very long. He dropped his hands. You can't hit even a Carson with his hands down unless you're a Carson yourself. I didn't qualify.
We got a deposition from her before she went into surgery. Carson's all washed up, Barry, but the kid's got a good chance.
Fine.
He had it laid out beautifully. Nina was told of Bawley take her home to the building where you saw them. For a gag, Carson told her. Carson broke into the building through the back door and was waiting in the lobby with the inside door propped open. He slugged Bawley across the back of the head hard enough to break the skull, pushed him backwards. Then he and the girl scrambled through the back door. The perfect murder. Except for what, Barry?
The ashes on the sidewalk, for one thing. Bawley couldn't have slipped on the ice. The other thing? The girl got into the building only one way. Somebody had to be waiting there to let her in. That made the word accident smell.
Let's go home, huh?
Sure. Hey, look, came the dawn.
You have been listening to William Gargan in another exciting transcribed mystery drama from the adventures of Barry Craig, confidential investigator.